Waste Hierarchy, and Sustainability. The waste hierarchy is a sustainability concept that focuses on the use of materials, including the use of resources considered limited or hazardous to the environment. The ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines the waste hierarchy as a process that ranks waste management options according to what is most environmentally sound, giving top priority to preventing waste. The hierarchy from top to bottom is reduce, reuse, recycle, recovery, and disposal. The waste hierarchy is illustrated in Exhibit 5-33. Exhibit 5-33, Waste Hierarchy. The idea of the waste hierarchy is to encourage organizations to consider the way material is used throughout a product's or service's life cycle, and to identify ways to minimize the amount of material that must be disposed of, which can often save money in addition to helping the environment and the organization's image. Note that the graphic above is kept simple, but there are a number of additional layers, such as prevent, being higher, even than reduce in this hierarchy. The layers in the graphic and the additional layers are explored a little later. The organization develops policies for what products or material components or scrap will be diverted to which of these options, and then manages and monitors their inventory, waste streams, and returns processes to ensure compliance. Increasingly, organizations are analyzing the life cycles of their products and the entire cycle of their processes to build sustainability into the product or process from the start. The goals of reduce, reuse, and recycle can be achieved in various ways. Reduce the use of hazardous materials or materials that cannot be reused or recycled both in product bills of material, BOMs, and in operations. Specify the use of recycled or recyclable materials in BOMs whenever possible. Design products for disassembly to make recycling easier. Reduce the amount of packaging. Use recycled material for packaging. Build a reverse logistics channel into the product/service package. For example, facilitating the return of empty glass containers for cleaning and refilling. Products can also be designed and marketed to include repair and refurbishment. For example, a shoe manufacturer includes lifetime warranties for its shoes. Customers pay a premium, but can send shoes back for repairs. Make recycling easier. For example, place recycling bins close to the point of use. Process design starts at the organizational governance and policy level, and so needs to be championed from the top and be owned by specific supply chain and operations managers. This includes developing a sustainability vision and goals and organizational policies and procedures related to sustainability. Compliance and/or auditing functions can be created to ensure that all applicable regulations and environmental standards are being followed. But compliance will be much easier to achieve if procedures and processes are designed to ensure compliance. Design is analyzed using the triple bottom line of social, environmental, and economic requirements. This helps ensure that the sustainable design still produces customer satisfaction while being feasible for workers to implement, has the desired environmental impact, and helps the organization maintain or enhance its competitive performance. To accomplish this, product costs need to be analyzed to ensure that the product can still be produced profitably at competitive prices. In many cases, a more sustainable material sourcing option that is higher in unit cost could still be lower in cost in the long run than a lower unit cost option with some hidden costs. This type of analysis uses the total cost of ownership. Examples of cost savings that could enable accepting higher unit costs include local sourcing options, which reduce transportation costs and lead times. The lead time reduction could in turn reduce necessary inventory levels and improve responsiveness to actual customer demand, so that less excess inventory is produced. The new procedures and processes also need to be feasible for workers to implement. A sustainable material that has much higher materials handling costs might not be acceptable. Feedback from operations and inventory management needs to be worked into plans, so these are also considered in the total cost of ownership. Using the waste hierarchy to develop a circular economy. Environment ministers from the G8 countries issued the COBE 3R Action Plan in 2008. Which aimed to decouple resource consumption and environmental degradation associated with economic activities. The result would be a new type of economic model, circular rather than linear. In a linear economy, the process is to make, use, and dispose. In a circular economy, the model is to reduce, reuse, and recycle, the three R's of the COBE Action Plan. This type of economy aims at lengthening the full life cycle of products from raw materials extraction to final disposition. Minimizing the changes to materials during their life cycle. increasing the number of industries that benefit from the materials in some form during their life cycle. The outcome of a circular economy should be reduced extraction of limited natural resources and reduced disposal of waste into landfills. Using the waste hierarchy and extending it to partners. An organization can set policies for its upstream and downstream supply chain partners and service providers to promote the organization's sustainability initiatives. This is important because the organization can be held responsible for its supply chain partners' activities in terms of public opinion. Enforcement of efficiency-related policies can also help drive unnecessary costs out of the supply chain. In some situations, these policies will be a prerequisite for supplier or distributor selection. A best practice is to set improvement goals in consultation with partners, because this helps ensure that policies are feasible and promotes partner buy-in. Another way to promote compliance is to include incentives, such as helping to finance desired changes in exchange for contracts that guarantee lower prices for the contract period. It is important to realize that compliance with sustainability policies usually comes with an investment cost. Partners will need to be given a reasonable amount of time to make improvements and investments. Suppliers who make some improvements but do not meet goals might be given a chance to negotiate new timelines. However, the policies will eventually need to be enforced with non-compliant partners, such as by ending contracts. There will also need to be a process of gathering evidence of compliance. Compliance can rely on self-reporting to some degree, but there usually needs to be external verification, such as an independent audit or certification of compliance by a third party. An incentive to seek certification by an independent third party includes the ability to label products as certified environmentally friendly. Waste hierarchy levels. Next, we explore the various levels of the waste hierarchy along with both internal and supply partner ways to extend this hierarchy. This includes some levels not shown in the hierarchy graphic. Prevent. The most sustainable approach to managing an organization's use of material is to prevent or avoid the use entirely. Policies can be set to prohibit internal or partner use of specific hazardous materials when alternatives exist, and preferred alternatives can be specified. Pricing incentives can promote avoidance of unsustainable options. For example, the fast fashion company could prevent the entry of non-organic cotton into its organic cotton raw material supply by paying a premium for organic cotton from suppliers who can prove they use organic farming practices.
Reduce.
If material cannot be prevented from entering the cycle, it can perhaps be reduced. An organization could create a better design that creates less scrap per piece. Reduce can be applied to water and energy use of a facility, such as a plant or warehouse. Some internationally recognized energy efficiency standards for design, construction, and operation of high-performance buildings, for example, Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design, LEED, BRIM, UK, CASB, Japan, and GBCI, Australia, can help with facility improvements. Here are some examples of potential areas for waste hierarchy policies or incentives at facilities. Replace older light fixtures and old heating, ventilation, and air conditioning, HVAC, systems with more energy-efficient ones. Lighting and HVAC are the two largest consumers of energy in warehouses. Invest in solar panels. Turn off lights when areas are unoccupied or when there is sufficient daylight. Or install automatic lighting controls that detect movement. Improve cold chain warehouse insulation and install automated door closers. Provide dynamic airflow. Recycle business papers and supplies. Reuse rainwater. Control oil and fluid runoff to prevent pollution of groundwater. In a distribution network, there are numerous opportunities to reduce the use of fuel, electricity, and materials. Policies related to reductions in these areas can be set, or incentives can be provided. Some examples in the areas of transportation and warehousing follow. Rail, barges, and maritime transport are the most environmentally friendly modes for moving goods. Companies can be encouraged to use these modes more frequently, when feasible. Freight consolidation also reduces the number of trucks on the roads, thereby also reducing fuel, emissions, and road congestion. Policies can require transportation companies to equip their trucks with navigational devices or applications to help their drivers and shippers find the most efficient routes between origin and destination. Software like this can monitor the trucker's driving. For example, idling, accelerating, decelerating, identify weight and height restrictions, and offer more truck combination options for freight consolidation. Aerodynamic truck add-ons promote fuel efficiency in trucks that are already deployed. Other companies are choosing to use alternative fuels like biofuel / dual fuel, liquefied or compressed natural gas, or electric power. Use of hybrid vehicles can be promoted. Warehouses can also have waste hierarchy policies and incentives. A warehouse that is in close proximity to customers, transportation hubs, and ports contributes to reduced fuel consumption by carriers. Distribution center layout needs to be such that materials handling vehicle movement is reduced as much as possible. Often products that are typically sold together are moved next to each other in the picking areas, and popular items can be placed near the dispatch area. Materials handling policies could promote reduction of the use of expensive and cumbersome pallets through use of lightweight and less costly slip sheets and corrugated trays. Similarly, policies could promote the use of banding of pallets with metal straps, because this is a more environmentally friendly option than shrink wrapping pallets. Packaging policies can reduce the amount of packaging used and also make shipping more efficient. When Staples Europe switched to a new packaging technology, it eliminated unnecessary space in every box, which reduced the box cube size for a customer order up to 30% and resulted in needing fewer vehicles to make deliveries. Policies can reduce the number of returns introduced into reverse logistics. For B2B, business-to-business, returns, a lot size return policy might make sense. This involves requiring corporate customers to hold returns until full truckload quantities can be sent to make transportation more economical. In a B2C, business-to-consumer, example, Dell allows products to be returned only after the customer speaks directly with a live customer service representative. While there is a cost for this direct support from what they call gatekeepers, the representative is given the opportunity to provide instruction on how to properly set up the device, upsell support devices, or otherwise talk the customer out of the return. This investment has paid for itself in reduced returns. Reuse, repair, remanufacture, refurbish, repurpose. The next alternative is to reuse the material or parts of the material in some way, including the following methods. Reuse. An example of reuse is to invest in returnable shipping racks, etc. Often these are stackable or collapsible for ease of return. Some are embedded with radio frequency identification tags for automated tracking. Repair. Repairs can be done on returned items to enable their return to the customer or resale. Remanufacture. Remanufacturing is when equipment or a product is rebuilt, reusing its most durable components. Refurbish. Refurbishing involves cleaning and repair to enable resale. Repurpose. Repurpose is finding a new use for the material, such as using concrete objects as an artificial reef or shredding used paper for use as packaging.
Recycle.
Moving down the sustainable scale, the organization can opt to recycle materials, to process them so that raw ingredients can be used to recreate materials. A byproduct could be sold to a third party who uses it as a raw material input if there is no direct use for the material at this plant. By selecting suppliers and other supply chain partners that use recycling practices, a company can extend its ability to reduce its carbon footprint. For instance, Staples has a sustainable paper procurement policy that requires its paper suppliers to protect forest resources and reduce the demand for virgin wood fiber by using recycled paper as input materials. The company uses an online tool to trace the origins of papers from its suppliers to verify that the paper has been responsibly sourced. There are also recycled pallets, which are exempt from waste regulations, and plastic pallets, which are recyclable. Recover. Conceivably, the organization may be able to recover and transform the potential energy in material that cannot be reused or recycled. In many cases, it is possible to take a byproduct that the organization would need to pay to dispose of and instead use it as a source of fuel, given an investment in the required systems. For example, paper waste can be converted into pellets and burned for energy or composted into soil. Extending this part of the hierarchy to partners, organizations can create a recovery program, such as for refrigerant. Recovery programs can be motivated by regulatory requirements. They can recover rare or valuable materials that can be reused. Dispose. The last and least sustainable option, and therefore the option to be avoided when possible, is responsible disposal. Disposal should still be responsible, that is, sending only approved materials to the correct places. Policies can be set to ensure that product or packaging disposal is in compliance with relevant laws and regulations, such as properly documented and authorized disposal of hazardous materials.